From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM and happy St. Patrick's Day. Next hour, physicist Michio Kaku joins us. Physics of the future, the world in 2100. What will it look like? By the way, take a moment, say a prayer for a friend of ours, Bill Handel from KFI here in Los Angeles. He will have open heart surgery Friday morning. He's going to have a valve replaced. A little prayer. Here's what's happening. Japanese engineers are frantically trying to avert a catastrophe, a release of more radiation from a crippled nuclear power plant north of Tokyo. But the United States said it could take weeks to cool the facility's overheating fuel rods. Officials said they hope they fix a power cable to at least two of the six reactors in hope of restarting water pumps they were preparing to douse with water from the fire trucks as well. Federal health officials say people in the United States should not take any precautionary measures against possible exposure to radiation from Japan beyond being fully informed. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission does not expect high levels of radiation, they say, to reach Hawaii, Alaska, U.S. territories in the Pacific, or the western coast of the United States. President's remarks, the latest official response to the fears of radiation from the crippled Japanese plant. U.S. Surgeon General Regina Benjamin's office also backtracked a little bit on a statement she made earlier this week that buying potassium iodide was a precaution. Benjamin made the comment, setting off warnings from state health officials that the pills can harm people with certain medical conditions. In an email Thursday, a spokesperson for the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services said it's important to know that the Surgeon General clarified that there's no need to take potassium iodide and that there are no harmful doses of radiation expected in the United States. But as the demand spikes for potassium iodide in the wake of Japan's nuclear crisis, U.S. poison control centers are now starting to receive reports of illness in people who've ingested the drug aimed at protecting them against radiation sickness. So far, at least seven people have reported reactions to the drug, including two who said they were suffering from serious symptoms, including vomiting, racing heart, dizziness, or vertigo. In a moment, we'll talk with Dr. John Apsley about this and radiation. Well, the world's seven major industrial nations have agreed to intervene in currency markets to help the earthquake-stricken Japan. So much so, the markets went up. Here's Catherine Austin Fitz. We're going to check in with her on this one. Can they save the Japanese market and the Japanese economy, Catherine?
Well, certainly Japan can offset the effects. George, part of what they're doing in the currency markets is we're in danger of seeing the yen carry trade unwind, and that's more about saving the United States and other countries than Japan, because Japan has been an enormous source of loans that are part of what's been bolstering the commodities, precious metals, and oil prices. And if the yen carry trade unwinds, that's a real shift in the economy. And it's part of what brought the crash in the markets in 2008. So this is not just about saving Japan. This is about saving everybody.
Well, let's hope they can pull this out. Catherine, thanks so much. Catherine's website, part of our Twitter feed at coasttocoastam.com. A shortage of parts from Japan will now force General Motors to halt production at its pickup plant in Shreveport, Louisiana next week. It's the first time a U.S.-based automaker will stop production in North America over parts shortages caused by the earthquake and tsunami in Japan. Already, Toyota and Subaru have already slowed North American production to conserve parts that they normally import from that nation. Honda recalling Civics and Odysseys over fuel wipers, by the way. If you've got one of the vehicles, you'll find out soon enough. One earthquake leads to another, and California may be the next in line for a devastating earthquake based on one particular indicator, the recent mass deaths of birds, fish, and marine mammals. A biologist is saying that it is his observation, confirmed over the years, that mass suicides of whales, dolphins that occur sporadically all over the world, and they're happening now, and in some way related to change and disturbances in the electromagnetic field, coordinates and possible realignments of geotectonic plates thereof. What all that means, He expects a massive earthquake again, some part on the globe within a few days. And don't forget, Saturday night we will have the extreme supermoon. That's when the moon is at its closest ebb in 19 years. And every time we get a full moon or a new moon, we're always subject to big earthquakes. Michael Goff, the British actor best known for playing Bruce Wayne's butler Alfred in a series of Batman movies, has died at the age of 94. He appeared in more than 150 movies and television shows, including British science fiction show Doctor Who, and recently voiced characters in Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland and Corpse Bride. He best remains remembered as his role as Alfred Pennyworth in the Batman franchise, opposite three different Batmans, Michael Keaton, Val Kilmer, and George Clooney. The veteran actor died at his home in England. Very talented man. St. Patrick's Day, that's what it is, a religious holiday celebrated internationally on March 17th. It commemorates St. Patrick, the most commonly recognized of the patron saints of Ireland. And who other than Dr. Bob Kern, noted author, man made of monsters, zombies, you name it. He's on with me here. So how do they celebrate St. Paddy's Day in Ireland, Bob?
Well, George, there's been a lot of massive street parties in some towns in Belfast. I'm here in the north and in Dublin. A lot of parties, a lot of processions, and dare I say, George, a lot of drinking. So there's a lot of partying going on. We are just out of St. Patrick's Day. You are still on the cusp.
Just on the cusp. There's, I'm sure, people all over the country still out having a good time on St. Paddy's Day.
Sure there are.
Hey, Bob, why? Especially here in the United States, do so many non-Irish celebrate St. Paddy's Day? They go out and have a great time on this day every year. How come?
Well, I think it was in America to sell, with the income of a lot of immigrants from Ireland. I mean, Ireland in the late 1800s sent a good number of immigrants over to America, particularly around the years 1840, 1852, the time of the famine. So it's a time for all Irish people to get misty-eyed and think of Ireland in America. Here, it's slightly different. Here in the north, and I'm based in the north, St. Patrick's Day is coming into its own again. For a long time, whenever I was growing up, St. Patrick's Day wasn't celebrated because of political reasons.
That's right. Now, here's one quick question, Bob. Are there really leprechauns?
You know there are, George.
Ah, yes, the wee Irishman, no doubt. Bob Curran, he's always a great guest here on Coast to Coast AM. Throughout the evening tonight, for at least a portion of the program, we will be playing some St. Paddy's Day-type bumper music for you with a number of different artists singing Danny Boy, including our own Christian Wilde, who will be here in about 45 minutes to sing Danny Boy. There's a feature story on Christian up there at coasttocoastam.com right now. Go take a look at his video and some of the things that he has done. Up next, we're going to talk about the possibility of radiation and what to do about it with Dr. John Apsley on Coast to Coast AM. A lot of you are concerned now about potassium iodide. Do you take it? Do you not take it? The possibility of radiation. Dr. John Apsley has been involved with clinical research specializing in cellular regeneration and accelerated wound repair for the past 30 years plus. In 1995, he perfected a unique, novel, rapid, regenerative electrical acupuncture technique. He's also the author of The Regeneration Effect. John, I expected you back, but not this soon. How are you?
I am great. It's good to be back.
Yeah. Now, let's talk a little bit, first of all, about the possibility of the radiation. Then I want to get into this potassium iodide and see where we go from there.
Sure.
The government's saying, well, you know, not that much to worry about, yet everything I'm looking at on video and from Japan, things that I'm hearing, they still haven't contained this situation. Who do you believe, John?
Well, the last person you believe is the government. You just have to educate yourself. And what you'll realize in short order once you're steered in the right direction is that most physicists today are very confused about the subject of radiation poisoning. For example, there is really no safe level of radiation, and it's cumulative. What happens is that once a particle that's radioactive enters the body, it has a half-life of 25,000 years. So during that time of our 80 to 100 years that we live, it constantly is emitting destructive effects upon our cells. What happens as a response to that can be interesting, but it's anecdotal. It's not something that can be consistent, which is that we will try to repair it. But at a certain point, and in most cases, it's kind of like winning the lottery. When you get a beneficial effect, which does occur,
mm-hmm.
It's the chances of that occurring are like winning a lottery. There are exceptions, of course, where there are hot springs around the world that have been in use for 5,000 years. So human beings have been using them for that long time
right.
period. And they get tremendous benefits, particularly for arthritis, even for cancer. But that's natural radiation that comes from radon. And with the man-made radiations that we get today, which stretch across an entire gambit.
Which could also come from unsealed microwave ovens, right?
Exactly, exactly. And from the foods that are cooked in that manner, by the way. You're talking about an entirely different aspect of toxicity. So one quick way to explain this is that there are different species of radiation. So radiation coming off of cobalt or versus coming off of cesium or coming off of iodine, because that's one subject you want to talk about, they all will have different impacts upon the body. And depending upon the age of the individual and the antioxidant reserves and the genetic profile that can repair, this is where the variables come into play. But it can be sorted out. It can be sorted out pretty quickly. I hope to do that tonight for
okay.
your listeners.
Now, some of the symptoms of early radiation sickness includes nausea, vomiting, rashes, which can appear within minutes or days of exposure. Later on, you get more serious effects, appetite loss, fatigue, fever, gastrointestinal problems may follow from hours to months. At what point do you die, John, when you get hit by radiation?
Well, if you're talking about that kind of radiation, and that's an important subject, the government's correct. There's going to be hardly anybody that'll be involved with that kind of symptom. It's not the acute high-dose exposure that's going to be the real dangerous aspects to this. It's going to be the extremely low levels that are the most harmful. This is called the Petcow effect. Petcow was a leading researcher in Canada, worked at their Atomic Energy Commission, their equivalent of it, and back in late 1960s and 70s. And he made an astounding discovery. I say that for emphasis. Let me just read this to you.
Sure.
What he discovered was that a long-term exposure of extremely low radiation, for example, 1/10 millionth of a rad, was found to be 100 billion times more lethal than a short-term exposure to exceedingly high levels of radiation.
Wow.
For example, 10,000 rads per minute, which is what you're talking about when you're talking about those kinds of symptoms.
Sure.
Now, as it turns out, what Petcow discovered was that at exceedingly high levels of radiation, there was an abundance of free radicals that were produced inside the tissues, but these tended to cancel each other out. They were so reactive, they just neutralized each other. But at extremely low levels of radiation, these same free radicals, which were produced in minuscule quantities, remained totally unchecked. And the steady stream of these unchecked free radicals was efficient and extremely lethal by cleaving the fatty wrappers around the cell membranes, like a hot knife slicing through butter. And it only took a short while for this kind of low-level radiation to overwhelm and exhaust the cellular antioxidant reserves like vitamin E that we have naturally in our bodies. Well, this is where the fun begins, because with the studies that are also emerging called radiation hormesis that physicists are kind of familiar with,
mm-hmm.
there can be times when this is just the right kind of radiation and the right amount where we will accelerate a defensive reaction to it that we call repair. It's called autophagy, something that cancer uses to defeat our very own conventional treatment, something I'm very familiar with. But you can overwhelm autophagy by just the wrong amount of radiation or the cumulative wrong amount, or by eating improperly, or by being in the higher age groups. So it's a hit or miss kind of lotto, as I was talking about.
I think you live in the Washington, Seattle area, right?
We do. We're getting it this weekend. This weekend it's all coming into the West Coast.
So here we are. Now, what are you going to do? You're going to run and hide? What are you going to do, John?
Well, I'm going to use this principle. Because the science is there, we can use autophagy. We can use this regeneration principle, which I'm an expert in, to bolster not only our own cellular defenses, but also to help us to live longer, essentially disease-free. Let me give you an example. When you look at the cultures that live in the blue zones around the world, like Ikaro, Greece, Sardinia, Italy, Okinawa, certain sections of Okinawa, even though there's McDonald's hamburgers everywhere.
They're everywhere.
They're everywhere there. The highest per capita anywhere in the world is in Okinawa. Nicoya, Costa Rica, and in several other locations around the world, these people all live to where they're 90, essentially disease-free, before they really begin their serious
age. I'm starting to lose you a little bit, John, by the way.
Oh, sorry. Am I talking to you?
Yeah.
People really don't age in these zones, these called blue zones, until they're about 90. They have large numbers of people that make it till they're 90. No cancer, no heart disease, no diabetes. And in some cases, they're actually living close to low levels of natural radiation, like in Ikaro, Greece, for example. But for the rest of us, that doesn't apply because we've got all these other stresses that are hitting our system. So when something blows up on the coast of Japan at the Fukushima nuclear power plant, and then the jet stream starts to carry over these small particles that are radioactive that will last for 25,000 years, blasting the environment with harmful radiation. And you add that on top of our already depleted nutritional reserves, which is found in many folks that are poor.
Or whatever radiation we get from the sun and everything else.
You're going to overwhelm a lot of people's systems, and just the chronic level of disease overall has to go up. And there are charts on this. We've known about it since looking at the 1950s explosions in Utah and Nevada that were above ground. We knew instantly that there was a 66% increase in infants born with low infant weight or were born prematurely or that had serious defects in their thyroid glands and poor eyesight, a lot of different things that happen. But no one wants to really get into that data and discuss it. Well, this is something we need to do.
Can you take kelp supplements naturally? Won't that help you?
Yes, exactly. There are a set of supplements that are known to help regenerate the body. In other words,
kelp, folks, by the way, being seaweed.
Exactly. All the edible seaweeds are excellent. Let me give you one fantastic example. There were two hospitals that were located a mile away from Ground Zero at Hiroshima when we dropped the bomb in 1945. One hospital, which was St. Francis Hospital, used all natural seaweeds and vegetables and no sugar and no refined foods whatsoever to treat all of their staff members and anyone that was able to wobble into their emergency room. They had virtually 100% of the folks live. The other hospital on the other side, again about a mile away, was using the common foods, the commercial foods that were used back then, none of the good stuff, no seaweed, sugar, canned goods, milk, you know, that type of thing. They all died.
Oh.
And a lot of those people were interviewed over the decades, and they're doing well. They didn't come down with thyroid cancer, for example, or with lymphoma or with leukemia. So because they stuck with that diet. It was part of their traditional
diet. Let's talk a little bit more about this natural protection, and we'll get into potassium iodide pills when we come back, and we'll take your phone calls with Dr. John Apsley on Coast to Coast AM. Are you a member of Streamlink Coast Insiders? Well, you can be for just pennies a day. Just go to our website, coasttocoastam.com. You get downloads, special podcasting, video chats, and just some fun for just pennies a day. It really is. It's about 25 cents, as a matter of fact, less if you decide to go long-term with that. Next hour, Michio Kaku joins us, the physicist, as we talk about physics of the future. Fascinating story on what he believes things will be like in 2100. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls with Dr. John Apsley, and also we'll get more into symptoms, potassium iodide. Lots of you are just really concerned about whether you take it, should you not? We'll talk with John about that when we come right back. Hey, John, before we get to some of these concerned phone calls, back to natural supplements for protection. Go ahead.
Right. This is great. There are a lot of things that can help this regeneration effect in our bodies that will help us to repair. If people will just simply go to my website, drapsley.com. For tonight, I prepared a special tab at the very top called Radiation Toxicity. They just click on that, and they can see all the supplements that are scientifically referenced that will repair and prevent radiation poisoning. So,
would you recommend that people not take potassium iodide right now?
No, I mean, I've given it to a lot of my patients. You just have to make sure they're not sensitive to seafoods that contain high levels of iodine, like shellfish, or that they have a known allergy to iodine. They're about one of every 250 people have a sensitivity to iodine. But the rest, everyone can take it. Iodine has been used for thousands of years in our along the coastlines of people eating seaweed and people thriving on shellfish.
So. We've got reports of 7 people they've gone to the hospital because maybe they took too much.
Yeah, that's possible. I'm receiving calls from all over the nation of folks who go into their local health food store and they're completely sold out of these iodine tablets. So we're probably seeing millions of people, if not hundreds of thousands of people, that have started already to consume high levels of iodine. There's bound to be a small number that will experience untoward effects, but these effects are very temporary. They include skin rash, things that you would notice right away. Sometimes you get difficulty breathing. You just simply stop taking the iodine, and it will go away pretty quickly, but you should get checked out at the hospital if you have any issues.
Okay, let's go to the phones now. First-time caller, Steve in Cincinnati, Ohio. Hey, Steve, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you.
Sure
thing. George, this is awesome. I've never been online. This is something. I've got just a couple quick points. It's pretty scary at Fukushima. I don't believe hooking up an electrical cable is going to help them. They had several massive blasts, and all the concrete rained back down on those pumps. And I cannot believe that plugging in an extension cord is going to make those run. But bigger than that is that the fault line down south, there's the third plate that joins up, and that's what they expected to create an earthquake or a tsunami in the future, an earthquake and then maybe a tsunami. And that's what they need to look at. They need to dump sand and concrete on Fukushima, like Chernobyl, and they need to shut down all the reactors around Tokyo down in the south. They need to pull the rods out and get them safe because they're going to have the same thing happen again. They're expecting another quake there. So,
well, they're going to have more. That might be a good suggestion. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu today, who's been a staunch proponent of the use of nuclear power in Israel, is beginning to rethink whether they need to have that or not. It's interesting, John.
Yes, it is.
Right.
Yeah, there's a lot to this, and I'm in favor of them just walling that entire, those 6 nuclear generators completely off with some concrete that's stuffed with borate. At least then they'll get ahead of the game. But right now it's a wait and see game. There are some people who are actually saying that this thing is all going to go away in a couple weeks, but with the chain reactions that are now unabated and not kept in check at all, I can't see that this isn't going to just get worse.
Even though there should be concern here, I'm concerned. Why did it appear that Chernobyl seemed to have a bigger concern?
Well, because it is a bigger concern. There are millions and millions of people that are affected by it. But the reports have been suppressed. They're only talking about, for example, 1,000 to 5,000 children that were affected with leukemia, but they were all cured. That's not true. But that's bogus claims. It's in the science literature, though, but it's bogus claims. For example, any child that's treated for leukemia or lymphoma successfully with conventional oncology stands a 7,400% greater chance of secondary cancer from the treatment itself. So these kids are not getting away scot-free, believe me.
Let's go to Jeff in Boston, Massachusetts on the wild card line. Jeffrey, good morning. Go ahead.
How you doing, George? Yeah, I'm one of the few individuals that has been diagnosed with the Gulf War illness, Gulf War syndrome.
Syndrome, okay.
Yeah, through a vaccine, through the VA. I've actually been qualified with that through the VA. And I just jumped in. I'm a Streaming Link member, so I haven't heard the whole conversation tonight, but I would be concerned about the pills that they're giving out right now. So I don't, I missed part of it, but yeah, I would definitely be concerned about that.
Well, they're not giving out the pills. They haven't released those pills yet. By the way, the government has stockpiles of potassium iodide that are extremely high levels of iodide, really, really high levels. And what we're talking about with kelp and the liquid iodines that are on the health food store shelves is much lower levels, although they offer protection. The seaweed I love because it has a lot of other ingredients in there, including chlorophyll and a thing called fucoidin and selenium and other trace minerals that will combat radiation poisoning. And incidentally, I'm sympathetic to your situation. I work with a lot of vets, and you can get some good information up on my website to help your situation too, so please do so.
Okay, thank you. Let's go to Tim, Dayton, Ohio, east of the Rockies. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, George. Hi, John. I've got a question. It's not quite on the scale of what we're talking about with Japan, but it got me thinking. I'm actually a screen printer who works day in and day out around conveyor dryers that run off of infrared radiated heat. I'm kind of wondering what the long-term exposure to something like that is and what I can maybe do on a day-to-day basis to protect myself from any potential long-term side effects, I guess.
You know, great question, Tim. I've anticipated these kinds of questions because, as George said at the beginning, there's a whole bunch of different kinds of radiation, and they all accumulate. Your body doesn't discriminate against one stress of radiation versus another; just adds them up. So you're right; you should get some protection. But if you go to my website, I've written this special page for everyone tonight. It goes from two simple things to do, even one simple thing to do, to a smattering of things to do. And you just click on the radiation toxicity tab and just read it. It's all referenced, and you can then go from there. You'll have your protection.
Why so much concern about the thyroid gland, John? Won't your entire body get hit by radiation and the cells will be damaged?
Yeah, this is great. So what's happening right now is that if the inner core has melted and there's a breach, which there has been, there's at least one, if not two, that are ongoing. You're going to have not just the radioactive iodine release, you're going to have the strontium, the americium, you're going to have the uranium and the plutoniums and a few others. These all go to different areas of the body and just stay there. There's a lot that gets out of the system. In fact, that's one technique. When you target each one of these individually with the right nutrient, you can pull them out. But the cesium loves the fatty tissue, for example, George. The iodine, radioactive iodine, it loves the thyroid tissue and also the ovaries in women. The strontium loves the bone for helping to cause lymphoma and leukemia down the road or osteoporosis. And then the plutonium and uranium love the liver. So these all can be removed if you know which nutrients will target them. And again, that's something I put on the website.
Okay, next up we go to Robert in North Hollywood, California, right around the corner. Go ahead, Robert.
Hey, neighbor. How's it going?
Good.
Anyway, great topic, fantastic topic. Nothing more important than people's health. And right now, it appears that our health may be in threatened to the West Coast area. Now, since you cover so much area with your show here, I think it would be a great idea, since I tracked the fallout moving towards the West western portion of the United States. It should be hitting us within the end of the month. So I think you should, near the end of the month, you should have a line reserved for people with Geiger counters and get readings over the line so people can tell you how many rands it is. So therefore, we'll know when to put a mask on, because soft tissues are the most sensitive. If you breathe in, you want to protect your lungs and make sure you don't have any open cuts, and to see what the difference of radiation is. And now people could actually take about 4 or 5 ounces of soy sauce, I guess, will protect. I guess it has some of the protective elements, and I really suggest people not use the pills for protect you from radiation, because a mixture of these pills, if you're on any medication, it can really have adverse effects. So please contact your doctor if you're going to take these iodized pills. I have them stored in my house too. And you only supposed to take them if there's high levels of radiation. Now, number two, if you have a Geiger counter, I've been monitoring on eBay, and they'd be going up. Like the first day, there's 150 for sale. The next day is 250 for sale. Now, yesterday, it's 360 for sale on eBay, and the price went from the average price from $200 down to $500 for Geiger counters. And people should have them. There's the best one is the one you put on a keychain. There's a keychain one for $75, and once you're exposed to high levels of radiation, it vibrates in your pocket, and then you can put a mask on your face. And this radiation fallout will probably last maybe about 3 or 4 days, and it'll pass over us like a storm. And it's good to have this. And like I said, you should have an open line near the ending of the month with people with Geiger counters. A lot of people have these old military, surplus ones you could buy in the market that are 50, 60 years old that work just fine. And they call you and tell you how much radiation. We could get a little fingerprint.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's make it easier on everybody, Robert. Let's say anybody with a Geiger counter, send me an email, george@coasttocoastam.com, if you're on the West Coast, with your phone number. And I'll have Tom put a packet together, and maybe we'll call you as we get close to that date. That'll make it easier that way, rather than for people to have to fight to get through on the phone line. Still getting lots of emails regarding potassium iodide. Do you recommend they simply call their doctors too?
Yeah, well, always it's good, but make sure your doctor has some training in the nutritional sciences. For example, kelp and other iodine products that are sold commonly over the counter really have no real danger. They don't mix badly with any medications I'm aware of. It's the dose that this gentleman's talking about that is hoarded by the government that can be dangerous. It's extremely high levels. Let me just also say, because he's a caller from California, that George, I believe you and I next weekend, not this weekend, but the following weekend, will be in Long Beach at the Health Freedom Expo.
Just when we get hit with radiation.
Just when we get hit with radiation. The other thing I want to say to him is that it's not about being detectable on a Geiger counter when the rates go up, and it's not about wearing these funky masks. That's not the issue. It's the extremely low levels that's the issue, and these tiny particles will go right through the mask. If you have these, you know, these big old masks that have filter systems on them that go out to each side, well, that's different. But we're not going to – I see all these people in Japan wearing these little flimsy cloth leather masks. None of those stop the tiny particles from going right in.
They don't work.
No. I have a funny story. It was on National Public Radio today that people probably heard. So there's a National Public Radio interviewer.
While there still is a National Public Radio, right?
Yeah, exactly. real quick story. She was dosed with quite a bit of radiation all over her body, and she went into a station to be checked. And it was all in the red, especially her shoes. And she's a little bit freaking out. She asked the guy, well, listen, what should I do? And he said, oh, no problem. Just go home and wash your shoes and your clothes. You'll be fine. And I was saying, what? She's inhaling this. It's going right through her clothes. These are rays. These are gamma rays that go right off these particles.
That's going to affect her big time, isn't it?
Of course. And again, it's the tiny amounts that stay in your system for long time periods that's the problem. It's not these large detections that we see on Geiger counters that are the problem.
Let's go to John, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. John, you got to be happy. Your Pittsburgh is moving ahead in the NCAA tournaments. Go ahead.
Sure. Hey, good evening, guys. Just a couple of questions. If you can share with the audience the difference between potassium iodide and potassium iodate. We actually sell a potassium iodate product, but that being said, there's some confusion out there, and I think there's some benefits to potassium iodate over iodide, but they both have the same intended purpose. And then secondly, there's some confusion about when to actually start taking the pills and the duration you should take the pills.
Oh, great question.
All right.
Yeah, these things are called speciations of metals or metalloids. Iodine's not a metal, but it acts, in this case, as if it were a catalyst towards certain functions in the body, like a metal does. Yes, the organic bound iodines or the iodates will have differing toxicities because their fate, their transport, and their metabolism is different than that of potassium iodide. So you are quite correct. And so it's dosing with these antioxidants or with, in terms of iodine, ahead of time that's important. But these should be sane and rational amounts. These shouldn't be like overkill. And you should pace yourself, especially according to your budget, because they will double serve for your general nutritional profile. You're not just going out there like a faddist and acting crazy and protecting yourself from radiation that may or may not get to your doorstep. You're going to do this in a way in which has a good rationale to help you live longer, just in general. And again, all that's something I put out on the website in terms of dosage levels. But you're correct. Those are good points.
Many websites that have been selling potassium iodide are out of stock.
Mm-hmm.
Gone.
Yes.
Where do they manufacture this stuff? You know?
Well, there's a ton of places that do. And it's easy to make. You can have a pharmacist make Lugol solution.
The compound pharmacist?
Sure. Yeah, they can make it for you in just a few minutes. But again, these potassium iodide is easier to overdose on than the other forms of iodine. So you want to be a little bit more careful with it and check it out. You want to know what you're doing before you take it.
All right, next up we go to Janet in Dubuque, Iowa. Nope, let's go to Alan in Great Falls, Montana. Go ahead.
Hello, how are you?
We're good.
Hi. My question is concerning two supplements. One is zeolite, and the other one is pectin. Do you know anything about the zeolite?
Oh, I love the stuff. There is different forms of zeolite. It's a little pricey, but it is a magnet that will pull toxic elements out of the body. And I'd say that it's a good addition once a week when people are not eating a great deal of food, say they're taking a day of rest. That's a perfect time to take the zeolite with some water, and it will help to pull not just what we're talking about here tonight out of the body that we don't want, but other things that have been accumulating in the body. I like it a lot. The pectin, of course, is found in your jellies, in your raw fruits and vegetables. I like it a lot because it's kind of fiber that has a high affinity towards toxic metals. So that along with the blue, green, and green algae, you can't beat the algae, for example, which are also seaweeds, to offer this kind of protection.
And the blue-green algae also helps your own stem cells, right?
Yes, the repair. That's exactly right. That repair system, that's correct.
Yep. Critical. Very critical,
yep.
I think.
Yep.
John, we're running up to the top of the hour. I want to thank you. And would you give out your website once again for those who are driving around and spell it?
Sure. It's Dr. spelled out, Apsley, A-T as in Paul, S as in Sam, L-E-Y, .com.
All right. And for those of you who are by your computer, we got it linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. Next hour, physicist Michio Kaku joins us for the full program as we talk about physics of the future, how science will shape human destiny and our daily lives by the year 2100. Here we are back in a moment on this St. Paddy's Day on Coast to Coast AM.